For Notre Dame football fans, there's no sweeter sound than the words,
"Touchdown Notre Dame!"
or "Irish win."
He's in for a touchdown! The Irish have come from behind!
As a fan of the Fighting Irish, you know that Saturdays in the fall are not just game days. They are unforgettable experiences. Welcome to a fan's perspective on Fighting Irish football. This is Dome and Domer. Here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me, as always, Ed Jordanic. And for the next 20 minutes, we're going to talk about what happens when Notre Dame doesn't turn the ball over.
And when they play lousy,
you know, there's a bunch of yeah. Unfortunately, I think Purdue just wasn't anywhere near the kind of caliber we've seen so far. But you know, let's do this. I'll tell you, the biggest moment of the night for me was in the third quarter when, to me, it was obvious for the first time that I've at least seen this season, Tommy Rees was clearly looking to go to Floyd in the right corner end zone, and he was double covered. It wasn't there, and he just checked down to the next receiver, who happened to be T.J. Jones, flying across the middle, and he popped it in there for a score. That, I think, bodes well for Notre Dame in a big, big, huge way, and for me was without a doubt the most exciting moment of the night.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's getting better. I mean, of course, he fouled that up with a poor throw when he had Toma in the end zone. But, you know, listen, I don't think Tommy's going to get any worse. You know, it's just a matter of a young quarterback. And what you hope is that his screw-ups are at moments in the game that aren't super critical. So as the season wears on, I mean, I think he'll continue to develop. I mean, and the fact of the matter is that when he doesn't get touched, it almost seems like he throws a little bit better ball when there's a little bit of pressure on him. I mean, it seems like he has a tendency to get happy feet and get a little messed up when he's got all kinds of time. If he's got to have a little bit of a quicker read and a quicker decision and a quicker toss, sometimes it seems to me, or he's got somebody flying at him, that he makes a better throw. But the offensive line did a really good job. Obviously, they opened a lot of holes for the running game. But also with him, he just never really had to concern himself with the rush. And if the offensive line keeps playing like that, then Tommy's not going to have any excuses if he screws up, because
you're right. By far, that was the offensive line's best game. And I don't think it was just because they weren't going against anybody any good. They actually had one real good defensive lineman. I can't remember the kid's name.
Well, the kid Gaston from the Chicago area, I remember he was a big target on our recruiting list, and he picked Purdue.
Right.
So yeah, they had a few players, but they had no depth, and they just we just rolled them up pretty good. And I love the fact that, you know, it's the fourth quarter. Everybody's talking about the Brian Kelly, you know, he's a long snapper comment.
Yeah.
You know, the kid breaks his hand, which is really just what our special teams needs. But I also thought it was funny. You know, he had his you could read his lips very easily in the fourth quarter when there was a motion penalty, I think, on Andrew Nuss, and he was like, "Come on, Nuss, you know, get your ass in gear." You know, I mean, it was 35-3 right at that point, or whatever it was. But that's what you need. There's just the attention to detail in the offensive line. The more and more I read about it and kind of maybe understand a little bit more about the game, I mean, offensive linemen have a lot going on that they've got to keep straight to perform at a high level.
Yeah, there's no, you know, it's they always talk about the unsung heroes or the offensive line. It is a brutal, brutal game. And, you know, when you're playing defensive back or wide receiver or, you know, almost any other position, you can have a series where it's three and out and you literally don't have any physical contact
right
whatsoever. You know, offensive linemen,
every
that's not
play,
the
they're
case.
Banging heads,
you know, yeah, every single play you're banging heads, and then 80,000 people see it when you make a mistake. You know, you get called for a holding or a tripping or whatever. I still can't figure that out. I saw the replay on that, and I would love to see what happened with Dever, because, it clearly didn't happen in the first 3 seconds of the snap of the ball. I mean, I don't know if he was running downfield and then, like, stuck his foot out to trip somebody. You couldn't see it on the replay, but, man, what a – and that was, you know, at the beginning of the game, and I'm thinking, oh, God, here we go again. You know, we're in the red, you know, almost to the red zone, and huge 15-yard penalty to draw us back. But from that moment forward, they just played lights out on the offensive line. And, I mean, when's the last time you saw a running back for Notre Dame busted up the middle for 55 yards and outrun the secondary? You know, that by far was one of the highlights of the night for me.
And I don't care. I don't care who you're playing or how bad the competition is, but Sierra and Jonas, they were finishing their runs. I mean, I don't know how big Sierra is. He obviously looks a little bit smaller, just I think because we compare him to Jonas but he sticks his head in there and he finishes off runs. I mean, he's not a scat back. I mean, he's willing to run between the tackles and the guards and put his head down and get an extra yard or two. And in that sense, I mean, I always thought that Darius Walker was kind of an underrated, underappreciated back. I mean, he brought it every single time he stepped on the field. You know, not dramatically wonderful, amazing physical gifts, but it was never a question of effort or his willingness to compete. And he also would get you a couple extra yards at the end just by sheer determination, keeping the legs going, you know, getting the shoulders square and banging you. And Sierra does that too. Obviously, it's funny because he's the smaller of the two, and Jonas is, that's who they've had to work on. Kind of the Robert Hughes syndrome. It's taken him a while just to be willing to try and, you know, just by brute force get an extra yard and a half. Sierra, we've never had that problem, but the issue with Sierra has just been getting a little bit of decent blocking scheme for him, and also him being just a little bit more patient. And boy, now he sets up his blocks really well, both to the outside and that little counter or whatever you call it that they run coming back across the line. And you know that I thought the play calling was lousy the first couple times in the red zone when they got everybody in the box and they run that delayed handoff to him, and you're basically just, you know, giving them a down. You've got that momentum going 70 yards. You know, you got to come up with something better than that. I don't know if that was Tommy's fault or that was just a pre-designed deal, but we had our red zone issues there in the first quarter.
Yeah, you know, as well as we played and as good of a game it was for us, there's still some concerns. I mean, from the standpoint of, you know, talking again here, championship caliber football team, the two spots for me that still have me greatly concerned and I think can contribute to what ultimately could be a loss is the fact that, number one, we have absolutely no punt return whatsoever. And that's just going to haunt you in the long term. You know, there was another chance where I don't know if the ball was knuckling and, you know, Goodman just decided to get away from it, but it turns into a 59-yard punt.
A 39-yard punt.
A 30, maybe, yeah. You know. If he just fair catches it, you know, why is he running away from that? I couldn't really tell. There wasn't a replay on it or anything, but there had to have been some reason why he got away from it, you hope. But the fact of the matter is, I don't know if you can't necessarily put it all on John Goodman's, because he is catching the ball within a second.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's the whole key to punt returns. I mean, the difference between having a 0-yard return average and a 9-yard return average is making the first guy miss or shake him off, right?
Miss, I mean, but
and he's just incapable of doing that.
Yeah, and he just doesn't have it. And if we're a football team where that's the best we got, and our punt return is gonna be that for the rest of the season, that doesn't bode well, because that's going to end up hurting you in the long run.
Well, the only thing, you know, the second thing caught last night was a Michael Floyd forearm to the back of the head, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he was kind of invisible, and I don't know if that was the defense or the scheme, and he just wasn't, you know, kind of in the action last night. But he's one of our most dynamic guys. You got to figure it away, and that's what's so disappointing, that they can't trust him on a kickoff return or on a punt return, because he would help solve that problem if he could just catch the ball.
Yeah. I was a little surprised, because I thought that we'd see him back there again. I gotta believe Brian Kelly hasn't given up on him for the rest of the year, because supposedly in practices he was performing. He was a guy that wasn't dropping punts. He was a guy that was, and you're right, he does make guys miss. I mean, you see him in the open when he gets the ball in the flat. The first guy is always missing. He's got that juke move, so he's almost perfect for punt returns. And, you know, I just think that you got to at least give it a chance, because in a key game, that can be the difference. It's going to be, you know, the Notre Dame, everybody keeps talking, and I don't know if this is the press kind of trying to jinx us, but, you know, this whole idea that we clearly are going to win the rest of the games on the schedule. There's some tough teams. I watched that Air Force-Navy game, and both of them execute. Both of them move the ball up and down the field. Now, Navy was definitely guilty of not scoring when they were in the red zone, but the fact of the matter is they're disciplined teams that, you know, yeah, over the course of the game, if you play it straight up and you execute and you don't make mistakes, you should win the football game. But it's stuff like this. It's the little things. It's the ability to take advantage of special teams and not just punt returns, but then also on our end, you know, field goals where, yeah, we're missing some, but to have one blocked, you know, on a 28-yard kick is not a good sign. And
still, something needs to get cleaned up. And I don't see any signs that this team thinks just because they hung a 4-score win on Purdue that suddenly they're walking around thinking they're 5-0. They're not. They know they're 3-2. They're 3-2 for a reason. And our Air Force presents a lot of challenges. And that attention to detail and that ability to execute in the red zone, I think, is so important. I mean, if Notre Dame beats the Air Force next week, it will be because, obviously, the defense, I think, will play pretty well. But even, you know, if Air Force is going to get there, they're going to rip off their 3 or 4, you know, 30, 40-yard runs. I can almost it's kind of just hard not to keep those assignments straight for an entire game. But the offense is going to have to pound them. It's going to have to just, you know, have just a couple punts during the whole game, if any. And it's going to have sustained drives, and it's going to have to execute and get touchdowns in the red zone. And if they don't, it's going to be anybody's ball game with 10 minutes left. That's just
right. Yeah, it's definitely a good match for Notre Dame, because this will be a progression game. This will be a game where, all right, look, you know, we've either gotten better as a football team or we haven't. And, you know, Notre Dame should look at it as, all right, we're going to put 35 points on the board one way or another. That's what we're putting on the board. I don't see the defense giving that up. You know, granted, yeah, they could rip off some and make some plays and, you know, ultimately put 17 points on the board. That wouldn't surprise me, potentially even 21. But, you know, I got to feel like over the course of the game, we're the better football team, and as long as we're not turning the football over, we should be able to put 35 on the board. And you know, that would be a good win. That's a great win against an Air Force team that presents problems for us, and you know, then leads us into the off week so that we can have 2 weeks to prepare for USC.
You know, Barkley had a terrific game Saturday. I think he was like 32 for 39, 4 or 5 touchdowns. I don't know what, but the statistics were pretty amazing. And I'm sure Arizona isn't that Stoops' team, you know? They're supposedly a...
Yeah, no, you know, USC is still got athletes on the team. It's not like... Now, they're not the defensive team that they've been in the past.
But their offense is starting to click a little bit now.
But their offense is, yeah. And they're going to present
Tyler,
some problems
Farmer,
for us. I mean,
that
wide receiver is the real... He's the real deal, and you know, our defensive backs aren't exactly the upper echelon of college football right now. But yeah, I mean that's one of those games where a couple little hiccups in, you know, the punt return or the special teams. I mean that's the kind of stuff those are the kind of games where you don't want that stuff.
Right. Well, let's focus on the positive performances for a little bit, because there were a bunch of them. You know, Manti, I think, I don't know. I just thought he had almost his most complete game.
He did. And, you know, he's another unsung hero, though, Ed. I know that we kind of harp on him because it seems like, but man, does he make a read and then he explodes. I mean, he just, I don't know if it was design, But the second he saw the quarterback heading outside the tackle, I mean, it was like a second and a half, and he was there. And he really made some great plays. But I agree. I mean, he's a guy that doesn't get noticed a lot. But as far as his presence on the field, holy cow. I mean, that is a huge, huge, huge advantage for us, having a guy like him in the middle.
I thought Darius Fleming was pretty active, and they kept Purdue just off the edges completely. I mean, Purdue just could not operate out there. And when you take that away, boy, the running game is just very it's going nowhere. And you know, you got just about any team, you like their chances if they're throwing up a bunch of second and nines and third and eights, and Purdue had a lot of those. They made a ton of mistakes too. I mean, they really broke down in a bunch of different areas. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some. I mean, you could point to a lot of stuff that Purdue did to kind of pad that lead for us. I mean, some of those penalties were just killers. It would have been interesting to see, had those not occurred. You know, clearly we don't end up getting a touchdown on one of those. It would have been an attempted field goal, and you know, we're 50%.
Oh yeah, no, there was still some. You know, I know that everybody's making a big deal in the newspaper this morning about, you know, we didn't have any turnovers, but it wasn't for lack of trying. I mean, you know, there were a couple interceptions that they dropped, I think, that I can think of. We had a fumble, right, that that Tommy covered up. Was it a fumbled snap or was, it was a handoff to Jonas where I don't know if he didn't know
right,
he was coming.
That we recovered, and then Floyd,
right,
got
Floyd
his own
got
fumble.
His own, exactly. So, you know, it's just the ball bounced our way. Which is good, which means that, you know, maybe the breaks are evening out a little bit. But it doesn't necessarily mean that our ball security was dramatically improved, or that that we didn't throw the ball to the other jersey a couple times. So, you know, again, it's I'm not saying it's zero turnovers is zero turnovers, but a lot of times it's a bounce that determines if it's a turnover or, you know, you keep the ball. So, like we said, you just got to clean that stuff up, because it'll come back to bite you.
Right. Yeah, and I do think that the good thing in all of this, I mean, I know we're harping on some of these.
Yeah, I said let's talk about the positive, and then right away I go back into the fumbles. But Manti, who else did you play?
Well, I mean, obviously I thought you have to be impressed with both Gray and just the way that they ran the football. I mean, I Sierra Wood is obviously the kind of explosive back that we haven't had in quite a while, and a guy that can take it up a gear and separate himself. You know, those guys seem like they were running downhill all night long.
I think you got to tip your hat a little bit to Braxton Cave. You know, we had issues with the shotgun snap, I think, the first game or two, right? And, you know, a couple times where we had, you know, there it was low, or we had some I don't know, missed timings and whatever, but it was flawless on Saturday. And it seems like he's a pretty good anchor there. I mean, I didn't hear his name once on Saturday. And, you know, the announcing crew was, you know, whatever. I mean, I don't think that they really nuanced it too much. I mean, they kept talking like it was, you know, that Notre Dame was basically playing a perfect game or something, and that was different than what I was seeing. I mean, it was good and it was solid, but obviously we're a little bit more critical. And the fact, I don't know if they came back after a commercial and mentioned it or something. I was kind of speeding through it because I started watching it a little bit later, but I don't think they even ever mentioned Ethan Johnson going off the field and not coming back. Did they ever talk? I mean, I saw him, you know, hobbling over to the sidelines.
Yeah, he did hobble off.
They never picked up on it.
Well, I'll tell you, they didn't. Yeah, not a lot. I think they did say that, but they never went back to him, that's for sure. You know, and I think that's a good sign from the standpoint of the depth that's on this football team.
And Tua wasn't there, so.
Tua wasn't there. You know, I caught wind of that, and I thought, oh, geez, I'm hoping it's not anything that's, because that's a kid that clearly has a bright future.
Was it a classroom thing? Do you know, do you have any idea?
They just said it was a team violation. They didn't really say specifically what he did. But in whatever he did, it was, you know, big enough to where they
kept
didn't
him
even
off
have
the bus,
go.
So that's pretty.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's obviously something pretty big. But yeah, you hope that this is a learning experience for him, and he puts it behind him.
So Kona was out there, right? He Schwenke played, if that's how you say his name, Kona Schwenke, 96, played some defensive end, and I think Hafiz is, I think, 94, and he was out there again, and obviously Lynch and Moore and Swinar. So, you know, we're fortunate. We have some depth there.
We did, and I think one of the best signs that we've seen in a long, long time with Notre Dame is how many times have we rushed three guys and put pressure on the quarterback, and they did it last night. I mean, there was, it just goes to show the kind of athletes that we've got on the defensive line, which is the first time in a long, long time at Notre Dame, and you know, that's a real good sign, because I'll tell you what it does, it frees up Manti so that he doesn't have somebody on his hip all night long. And the defense by far is the stellar point of the season so far. I mean, these guys are just dialed in and really playing well, and hopefully that'll continue, because as we head down towards the rest of our schedule, a lot of the teams are run oriented. They're going to be they're going to be that kind of team that it's going to really challenge us up front on that front seven. So, hopefully that'll bode well for us. All right, we'll leave it there. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanic, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.